As I mentioned earlier, today's message is on forgiveness. What a subject. In Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, we have what is called the Lord's Prayer. It's actually a model prayer given by the Lord. The actual Lord's Prayer we find in John 17, verses 1 through 26. This is during the Lord's upper room ministry. And this is considered the longest prayer by our Lord, and it's been called the high priestly prayer. Here Jesus prays for himself, his followers then, and for his future followers. That's us, brothers and sisters. What a blessing. As we consider a message on forgiveness, I'd like to start with the Lord's model prayer. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Go down to verse 5. If you're like me, you've heard this prayer. Most of us can memorize it or can recite it from memory. Learned it at an early age, perhaps. We've read it many times, and for some reason, the part about forgiveness really spoke to me some time back. And that's why I'm sharing this today. Matthew 6, verse 5 through 14. Follow along as I read. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And here's the prayer in this manner. Therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that ends the model prayer, but the Lord continues in verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's been said that the Lord's model prayer has two main elements: adoration and petition. It's a prayer in seven parts. Of course, seven is a number of perfection in the Bible. And it starts out, our Father in heaven. In the time Jesus spoke these words, believer in God could not address God as Father. In fact, devout Jews would not even speak God's name, Yahweh, or Jehovah, out loud. This name of God speaks of his self-existence and appears as capital L-O-R-D, Lord, in the New Testament. It reminds us of what God told Moses at the burning bush. When Moses asked him his name, God said, I am, was his name. So our Father, then hallowed be your name. Hallowed means reverence. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he says, give us this day our daily bread. He continues, and forgive us our debts or sins as we forgive our debtors or those who sin against us. And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, speaking of Satan. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A prayer that speaks of relationship with God, reverence toward God, seeking his will, seeking his provision, forgiveness, seeking his protection, praise to God. We find that this model prayer was given to the multitudes during the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. We read of that in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. This sermon or teaching begins with the Beatitudes. The Lord uses the word blessed 9 times in 9 verses. And blessed simply means happy. One is described as this, the believer's inner condition as a result of the work of God. But in this sermon, the Lord goes on to speak about how believers should be salt and light, how that He, Christ, fulfills the law, how that murder begins in the heart. He speaks of adultery in the heart, about marriage being sacred and binding. He forbids false oaths or promises. He speaks about going the extra or second mile, how we are to love our enemies, how we should do good to please God and not man. Then we come to the model prayer. After this, the Lord speaks of fasting, treasures in heaven, the eye is the lamp of the body, about not serving God and mammon, which speaks of money, not worrying, not judging, how we are to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. He speaks about the narrow way. He speaks about how we are known by our fruits or our works. Finally, about building on a rock. Of course, Jesus Christ is a rock. It's been said that this is the greatest sermon or teaching ever given by anyone in the history of the world. I think we would all agree about that. In fact, Matthew 7, 28 and 29 says this, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, his sermon, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Here we have 20 themes, or you could say topics, each one a message in itself. So many things we can consider. Today, just one, the Lord's model prayer and forgiveness that is mentioned. And as I mentioned, the Lord's Prayer has 7 parts, each worthy of another message, but today a message on forgiveness that I'll give in 3 points. First, our forgiveness toward others. Second, God's forgiveness toward us. Third, our thankfulness to God for His forgiveness. Our forgiveness toward others, God's forgiveness toward us, and our thankfulness to God for His forgiveness. The words forgive, forgiveness, plus other variations of the word appear approximately 200 times in the Bible. Forgive means mercy, kindness, pardon, and several others. So our first point will be our forgiveness toward others. Again, in the Lord's model prayer, we could consider a few verses. Turn back, if you're still there, Matthew 6, verses 12 and 14. Matthew 6, verse 12 and then 14. And again, the Lord speaking, "And forgive us our debts or sins, as we forgive our debtors." And then verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Besides this, we also have our Lord's teaching on forgiveness. Turn to Matthew 18, over just to the right a little bit. Matthew 18, go down to verse 21. We find a conversation that the Lord Jesus had with Peter, one of the apostles. Matthew 18, 21, "Then Peter came to him," the Lord Jesus, "and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. 70 times 7, of course, equals 490. But this speaks of an unlimited number of times that we are to forgive, aren't we? And I thought, as born-again believers, how many times have we applied 1 John 1:9 to our lives, which says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, forgiveness. With that rate, it wouldn't take long to reach the 490 times. In my own life, as I'm daily made aware of things that I've done or even thought that would not be pleasing to God. It's a reminder to us about being forgiving to others. Again, Matthew 6:12 says, as we forget our debtors, it is something that God expects us to do, isn't it? It's also part of the new character we have in Christ. Turn to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, go down to verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12, of course, this is speaking of the character of the new man, the new person we are in Christ. Therefore, verse 12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We can all be thankful that God has given to us his unlimited forgiveness. And again, it's something that we should do with others, both believers and non-believers alike. And that brings us to the second point about God's forgiveness toward us. And I believe I read this morning, but Ephesians 1:7 says this, in him, speaking of Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We can be thankful for that wonderful grace. And for sake of time, we won't do these songs, but number 237 in our red hymn book is grace that is greater than our sin. And the chorus says, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon, which is the same word as forgive, and cleanse within. Then we have another song, number 2 in our red hymn book, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And verse 3 says this, pardon or forgiveness for sin and a peace that endureth. Peace. Forgiveness by God does bring us peace. God has not only the desire to forgive our sin, but he has the power to do so. This was demonstrated many times in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Mark 2. Here's one of many examples we could find in Scripture. Let's just start at verse 1 for context. Of course, this is a story about the Lord healing a paralytic man that was lowered through the roof as he was sharing with the crowds that day. Mark 2, verse 1. And again, he, speaking of the Lord Jesus, of course, entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Well, they were correct in that assumption. God can forgive sins. And here the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates his omniscience. He knows all things. But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power or authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." God will forgive us and offers his forgiveness if we seek him. Here we see the friends of this paralytic sought the Lord, and they were rewarded. If we seek him, think of our salvation. If we confess our sin, in other words, agree with him and his word, he will show us mercy, kindness, and pardon. Pardon us from the penalty of sin. As we read in Romans 6:23, the wages or payment for sin is death, which speaks of separation from God. But we can all be thankful that Romans 6:23 continues, "But the gift of God is eternal life in and through Jesus Christ our Lord." God, for Christ's sake, based on his Son's finished work on the cross of Calvary, offers forgiveness from sin. God not only forgives, but he forgets our sin. Turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 down to verse 25. Isaiah 43, 25 says this, "I, even I am, who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins, and I will not remember your sins." Now turn to Hebrews. Same type of thought in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Hebrews 8, 12. Here the writer of Hebrews actually quotes from the Old Testament, Jeremiah. In verse 12, he says this, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." It's been said that it's not that God forgets like we forget, it's that he chooses not to remember. I like that. He chooses not to remember once he has forgiven us. Perhaps you remember at times a past sin in your life, perhaps guilt that you still feel from it, that robs you of the joy that God wants you to have, and perhaps from achieving what God has for you. Well, let me just tell you this, it's an assurance. If God can forgive and forget our sin, we should take comfort in this, by putting our past sin behind us and to keep moving forward. I think the best example of this is the Apostle Paul. He writes this in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or achieved anything, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." So we think of the Apostle Paul, we could say that he had much to try to forget, didn't he? Turn to Acts 8. Acts chapter 8, the first three verses. Here Paul was still called Saul. Now Saul was consenting to his death, speaking of the first martyr, Stephen. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Verse 3, as for Saul, of course, who was Paul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And then go to chapter 9. First two verses in chapter 9. This is just before Paul's conversion on the Damascus Road, Acts 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from them to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, that's Christians were called that in the beginning, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So Paul had much to forget, didn't he? But we know he went on to serve the Lord mightily. He was able to move on from his past. God used him to establish many churches. He wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. Some believe he wrote Hebrews also. So by God's help, let us forget our past failures and look forward to the future victories that God has for us, has in store for us. Again, God is faithful to forgive our sins if we ask him. Personally, we can do that. But what about our national sin? Turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If you think back of a time just after September 11, 2001, after our nation was attacked by terrorists, I heard this verse mentioned many times. But I think as Solomon prayed this for his people, we need to pray this for our nation and our people. 2 Chronicles 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We need to pray for our country, pray for our world, that the Lord will be gracious in these difficult times. We could also think of Daniel's prayer for his countrymen, those in Judea, Jerusalem, and other locations. Turn to Daniel 9. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 through 5, and then verse 19. This is Daniel in his prayer. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. And then verse 19, he concludes the prayer and he says, O Lord, because of your great mercies, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay. For your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Of course, Daniel was speaking about his countrymen. But we're called by another name. We're called Christians. We're the Lord's own. We need to pray for brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for our country. So whether national or individual, we can have God's forgiveness. And that brings us to our third point, our thankfulness to God for his forgiveness. Thankfulness for the forgiveness of our sin we receive in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith in him, first for salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and once saved, we'll never be sinless this side of heaven, but we can confess our sin as we've read. He's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. And I don't know about you, but whenever I think of something that I realize isn't pleasing to my Heavenly Father or to Lord Jesus Christ, and I confess it, and I feel a sense of freedom. We need to have that. Thankfulness for the forgiveness that will keep us from experiencing the second death, the lake of fire mentioned in Revelation 20. That wasn't for man. For God so loved the world that he sent his son for the whole world, for all mankind, those who would put their faith in him. But that was prepared for Satan and his rebellious angels. Thankfulness for the forgiveness we have within the body of Christ as we seek to follow our Lord's teaching on forgiveness. And we can be thankful for the forgiveness we have, the opportunity we have to serve God, and the place we have in his eternal family. So let us continually praise God for his forgiveness, for salvation, for those times we fall short after we're saved, that we know that he will forgive and cleanse, give us new direction, restore that fellowship. Pray for one another. Pray for our country. Pray for our world. Knowing that God is ready and able and willing to forgive. What a blessing that is. I'd like to do a song. As I was working on this message, considering God's forgiveness, he gave me a song. This is an original song, but I offered to the Lord. It's about forgiveness, and it probably sums up my thoughts, even if I wasn't able to convey them properly, but hopefully the Lord can use this for his glory. It's called Forgiveness. Through Christ we have forgiveness, a blessing from above. By his death we have salvation, a true picture of his love. Thank you, Father, for forgiveness from sin. In sending your Son, our souls to win.
When cleansed, we are able to be used as you lead. Help us daily by your Spirit, your word to heed. At times we still falter, falling short of your will. To serve as you desire, affected by sin still. But through faith we are forgiven and able to receive every blessing that you offer and to meet our every need. Thank you, Father, for forgiveness from sin. In sending your Son, our souls to win. When cleansed, we are able to be used as you lead. Help us daily by your Spirit, your word to heed. Help us daily by your Spirit, your word to heed.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your forgiveness.
Thankful that you were willing to send your precious Son to redeem us, to pay the price of that redemption. It's by his shed blood and his willing sacrifice that we've been forgiven. Help us not to take this for granted, but be thankful daily. And Lord, we still fall short because we're still in those unredeemed body. We look forward to that time when you'll call us to be with yourself. But until then, when we fall short, help us to be quick to confess anything that would keep us fellowship with you or our brothers and sisters in Christ, or keeping us from serving you as we should. Thanking you for your promise that you're faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. Lord, I pray that this message has been an encouragement, perhaps a reminder of something we need to let go of and leave at your throne. Accomplish work in every heart in this place today and perhaps in the future as this message may be heard. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for your loving kindness. Most of all, we thank you for your forgiveness. In and through the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this in his precious name. Amen.